Good morning, everybody. Very happy. I'm very, very happy to be here. Yes, 2 years. It was 2 years this month, so it's so wonderful to be here with you in Worcester. And we shall consider once again the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So if you have your Bibles and want to read with me, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew 18, verse 2, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And the Lord will bless reading of his precious word. I was reading about a woman who went through they had a special speaker in the midweek meeting, and he preached the gospel. She had her 9-year-old daughter with her. Her name was May. And to the 9-year-old girl, it seemed to her that the preacher, thanks Tom, preacher was speaking to the big people, not to her. And her mother kind of felt the same way, you know. So they're driving home. And so she asked her mother, she said, "Mother, is Jesus a Savior for a 9-year-old girl like May, me? Can I have him as my Savior? It's not just for big people, is it?" And the mother said, no, of course not, my dear. Jesus is a Savior for the oldest and the youngest. But why do you ask me?" She said, "Because, Mommy, I want him as my own Savior. And I want him right now." And she just bowed her head and very sweetly lifted up her heart to God in prayer. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. She understood. She got the gospel message, and she was born again. 9 years old, a little child. And so we have here the Lord Jesus Christ. What an object lesson for the disciples. Yes, they were talking about being great in the kingdom, you know, and that's the way they were prior to their being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus, so tenderly, kindly, how he taught them. And so he picks up a child, thinking it must be a toddler. Around a toddler, I don't know. We don't know for sure. Maybe 3 or 4 or 5. But he called the child. The child came to him, and he set him in the midst. An object lesson now for the disciples, for everybody, a child. And he said to them, you know, except you are changed, you're turned, converted, and become like this little child right in front of you here, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's quite a statement. His terms. God just gives his terms. Except you become like a little child, you will not be in heaven. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except a man be born again, born from above, he or she cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. God's terms. And we read about these terms, well, let's say that the sports team negotiating with the owners and so on, they come to terms. Companies, unions with the owners, and they dicker back and forth and they come to terms. Well, God doesn't do any dickering, you see. God says, I set the terms. He's God Almighty. Doesn't explain himself. In the beginning, God. That's it. And he says in Psalm 14, you don't believe in me? The fool has said in his heart, there's no God for me. That's all he says. He makes no explanations. God is God. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him personally as your own Lord and Savior, If you don't have sweet times on your knees praying to him, communing with him, well, this is a morning where you're going to hear about how you can enter into the kingdom of God, becoming like little children. His terms. I can remember in school they gave terms. I say I'm in grade 5, and the teacher says, well, I'm happy to be here with all you dear children. I know you all want to go to grade 6, but except your average, all your exams must average at least 60%, or you don't go to grade 6. Those are the terms. No negotiating. So when June comes, you don't go to the teacher and say, well, I got 58%. Can I go into grade 6? Actually, no, you can't. I told you already the terms were. So understanding that God has made terms. He set them out for us. And I must turn. I must turn, except ye be converted to turn in my mind. 17 times the words in the Bible, all the other times is translated turn. Here, for some reason, it's except ye be converted to turn in my mind. Turn from my own way of thinking. That's what God is saying. If you want to be in heaven, if you want to know me, then you must turn from your own way of thinking. He says, forsake your thoughts, your own thoughts. What do I know anyway about God? We don't know anything. If we didn't have this book, we would know nothing about God. We could see his glory in the world, up and down, around, but we wouldn't know him, his character, and so on. Turn from your own thoughts. In Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we understand I must change the way I think. It's called repentance, a change of mind. Become another man. That's what he's saying to them. You men and women, you can't stay the way you are. You can't. Maybe you're content with the way you are. I hope you're not. Hope you're not. I got to the point in my life where I couldn't stand the man in the mirror anymore. I thank God. And I changed my way of thinking. I didn't want to be that man anymore, that hypocrite anymore. And that's a requirement. Our way of thinking, Bob Dylan put it this way in one of his songs. He says, our brains have been mismanaged with great skill. And they have, haven't they? It's right from children. You better watch out. Better not pout. Better not cry. I'm telling you why. Huh? Yes, Santa. Oh, he sees you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. So you better be good. You be good. And you'll be rewarded. Right from children. There was a song on the radio. It was written by a guy from Georgia, Wayne Cochran. It was on the radio in 64. I'm thinking around that time, I was 15 years old. And the Cavaliers put out this song. It's called The Last Kiss. And they say it's the saddest song ever written, this song. Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, they sing this song, and it went to number 2 on the charts, you know, whatever those charts are, Billboard. It was the song, the band's highest money-making single ever, this song. I'm going to read to you, it's only short. Here's the song. Embedded right in your head. Because when something's sung to you, you remember it, and it seems to leave an impression on you, doesn't it? We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far. There in the road, straight ahead, a car was stalled. The engine was dead. I couldn't stop, so I swerved to the right. I'll never forget the sound that night. the screaming tires, the busting glass, the painful scream that I heard last. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. You see how what happens, and we think this way. I've got to be good. I'm a good person. Good people go to heaven. Good people. And so all my life, I'm thinking this way till I'm 30 years old. I had no idea. Bruce Springsteen said, we learn more from a 3-minute record, baby, than we ever learned in school. And that's the truth. That's where I got my education come from. God says, understand, turn from your way of thinking. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none good but God. How much plainer could God make it for us to see this? And I change the way I think now. I'm not a good person. That's the only way I can be saved, is to go to him in honesty and tell God that. I'm not a good person. Lord, I know what I am. Thank you for the revelation of me, myself. That's the first revelation a person needs. A revelation of their true self. I'm a sinner. My thoughts, like the things I think about sometimes, they say, whoa, I know what I am. We know what we are. And it's so sad so many don't. They've been programmed, you see. I have to come to the point in my life where I don't like the person I am. I don't like me. I don't know God. I don't pray. I don't read the Bible. I see the Christians. I'm not like them. Well, I was having some meetings one time in the Summerside, Prince Edward Island in Canada. And a man came out, a young man. I think he was early 20s. He came in. Somebody brought him in. His name is Keith. And I preached the gospel. I was there for a week preaching the gospel, Sunday to Friday. And he went out. As he walked past me after the meeting, he tears. There was tears in his eyes. And I'm looking at him like, whoa. He walked right by me and goes outside. Another brother who brought him to the meeting went out to talk to him. Brought him in, introduced him to me. And I didn't say anything to him. I just said, you know, if you ever want to talk to me sometime, obviously that message you heard got to you. You got tears in your eyes. And so anyway, Wednesday night, he comes back again. There he is. So I'm preaching the gospel. Same message you're hearing right now, the gospel. And after the meeting, he came right to me when the meeting was over. And he said, can I talk to you? I said, well, yes, of course you can talk to me. So we went to a room, and I closed the door, and there was a chair. I said, have a seat, Keith. And while I'm getting another chair for me to sit down in, he said, I don't like myself very much. Well, I said, whoa, Lord, here's a man. He's not far from the kingdom at all. He's very close to heaven's door. He doesn't like himself very much. That's the place you got to get to. 10 minutes later, his tears are tears of joy. He's born again into God's family, this Keith. He's from Vancouver, way on the west coast, all the way to the east coast. His girlfriend lived in Charlottetown, and she said, we cannot get married unless you get saved. And so she's the one who prompted him to go to Summerside, an hour's drive, and he heard the gospel. And as he left, he said to me, he turned around, he said, you know, if I had come here last week, I wouldn't have heard you preach the gospel. Or next week. And he looked at me, he says, isn't God good? I said, yes, isn't God good? He's so good. And I told this story in Charlottetown about 2 years later, and I didn't even know it. He was there in the meeting. I didn't recognize him. And they got married, and he's going on for God. He's a joyful man now. And he likes the man he is now because he can say, Christ liveth in me. And my life now is meaning and purpose. Not just to please me any longer. No. Be as Jesus was. When Jesus said, follow me, he meant you live like I live. Live like I live. Do always those things. Seek to that please the Father in heaven. He's a good God, a great God, God. So we have God's terms, and then the first thing he says is you must turn in your way of thinking. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways. That's why God says, forsake your thoughts. You look in the Bible. Talk to a Christian who knows and learn. So, children. So, the object lesson. In Mark, it's interesting. I think it says he's actually holding this child. So, what a scene would that have been now for those disciples? A little face beside him, and his face, and his words. And they're looking at him, at the child, and him and the child. It's an object lesson for them. They never forgot this object lesson. You want to be great in my kingdom. You want to be in the kingdom, great in the kingdom. You become just like this little child. I have a message on that in ministry, which I worked on, and what we can learn from little children. A whole lot we can learn from them. The Lord Jesus Christ would have been this way. He would have been like a little child. That's the truth. Now, what are little children? Well, they're teachable, aren't they? They're teachable. So many people are not teachable. Become as little children. David, in Psalm 131, he said, Lord, my heart is not haughty. My eyes aren't lofty. I don't exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. I don't do that. He says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Just a young child like the one the Lord Jesus Christ had in their midst. This was David's heart. Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, the meek will he teach his way. Those are the ones that get taught to become meek. Isaiah 54 and 13, children shall be taught of the Lord. Children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Teachable. I wasn't teachable when I first heard the gospel. I just turned off. I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't teachable. I thank God that he humbled me and showed me the man I really am. Not the nice man God's going to take into heaven. No, I wasn't a nice man at all. I had a cold one time and sitting outside a little mall in Nova Scotia, and I was going to go in the pharmacy and get something to help me with this. My nose is running. I'm blowing my nose and sneezing in the car outside in the parking lot, and it won't stop. So I try to get out, and I sneeze and blow my nose, and unknown to me, there was a man beside me in his car watching me. So when I got, he got out. He said, man, you got some bad cold there, don't you? I said, well, yeah, I think I do have a bad cold right here. So I reached in my pocket, and I offered him a tract. It's usually right here. Anyway, the tract says four things God wants you to know. And I said, let me give this to you, sir. And he took it, and he looked at it. Four things God wants you to know. He crumpled it, threw it in my face. He said, I don't want that stuff, and walked away. I say, wait, there's a man. He's not teachable. He's not teachable at all. That man's never going to be in heaven unless he becomes like a little child and be teachable. In Kisumu, Kenya, where I've been three times preaching in a prison there, I read a story about a man around 20 years old. His name was Tom Omerga. He was a clerk. And he's driving home on his bicycle, and a car went by him, and he recognized the car, and two sisters in the car were missionaries. He knew that. And as they're driving up over the hill, a piece of paper flew out the window. And he thought to himself, that might be something important. So he stopped his bicycle and picked up the piece of paper. And the piece of paper was the very same gospel tract. Four things God wants you to know. And he said to himself, this does look important. And he sat down on a rock by the side of the road And he read it. Oh, and the man, he's born from above into God's family. God opened his eyes of understanding to see the simplicity of the gospel. And he was saved. And on Sunday night, he stood up there and everybody in the meeting, he's telling everybody what happened to him. Teachable, wasn't he? Teachable man. One man, not teachable. And another man, same track. But what a response was his. He was taught of the Lord, and great was that man's peace. And I have to be teachable in order to be in heaven with God. Listen to what God says. Now, something else children are, they're tender. Their hearts. Genesis 33 and 13, God says, the children are tender. They're impressionable. Don't we love a little children? Yes, delightful. I've always loved working with little children, you know. They're so innocent, tender-hearted. 1 Chronicles 13:7, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted. 1 Kings 22:19, Josiah, thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. To have a tender heart. That's why God says in Ecclesiastes, come now when you're young. Come now when you're young. Your hearts are tender. Because this world will harden my heart. Sin will harden my heart. But just being in this world. That's why he says, come now while you're young. Because the evil days are coming. The evil days are coming. It'll be more difficult for you to be saved when you're older. Because like petrifying waters, you put soft wood in there, what happens? It turns to stone. Just being in that water and just being in this world, just living in this godless, Christ-rejecting world will harden my heart. The longer I'm in it without Christ, my heart will get hard. My heart has to be tender to receive this the gospel, to receive it. That would touch my heart, Calvary. And the love of God for me, I understand, for me, he loves me that much. There was a train going across the Rocky Mountains. I've never been there. I'd love to go there someday and see that. But they're beautiful. I've seen pictures and so on. And one girl, it's her first time in the train, and she's looking. She can't take her eyes off the majestic scenery going through the Rocky Mountains. And she noticed a woman in front of her, and she's reading a book, and she never once lifted up her head to look out the window the whole trip, you know. And she was curious, so when they arrived at their destination, she asked her, how is it you didn't even look out the window? And the girl said, I'll tell you why. This is my 13th time crossing the mountains. She said, the first time I crossed, she said, I couldn't even hold back the tears. I wept. It was so beautiful to see the glory of God. But she said, now I know it so well, the beautiful scenery doesn't move me. See what can happen? And the more you hear the gospel, the more you hear the gospel and leave without Christ as your Savior, the more difficult it will be later on in your life to be saved. That's why God says, you come now with a tender heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And children, teachable and tender, and they're also trusting, aren't they? I love little children. Daddy, why is the moon shining up there in the sky at nighttime? Well, son, he says, you can't see the sun, it's on the other side of the world there, but the moon, the rays of the sun are shining on the moon, and it's shedding its light down here on us. And the guy says, thanks, Daddy. Does he understand what he has heard? He doesn't understand that at all. How can he understand that, right? But if Daddy said that, good enough for me. I trust my Daddy. He'll tell his friends about why the moon shines so bright at nighttime. They're trusting. Acts 16:31. What must I do to be saved? Verse 30. Believe. Trust rely upon a fully convinced acknowledgement, a fully assured, unswerving confidence to have faith in or upon someone or something. Believe, that's the word, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt, not might, thou shalt be saved. And when I believe God and take him at his word, that's when I'm saved. I trust. I believe. I put one foot on the work of Calvary. Christ is my Savior. His blood shed for me. And the other foot on the promise of God. And God cannot lie. Titus 1:2, it says he's incapable of falsehood. Incapable of falsehood. That's his character. We can rest on every word he says in the Bible. Every promise. I rest in that. We trust him. Thou shalt be saved. He said, I give unto them eternal life. I give to you. And then John 10, it's a double negative. And it's strong. It's a strong word. You'll never, ever perish. Under no circumstances will you perish. I've given you everlasting life. And when I believe, that's when the miracle happens. But you have to want to be a different person. You just can't go on living the way you're living. And who do I please anyway? Well, I please me. Yes. Who's on the throne of my heart? I'm on the throne of my heart. I do those things that are right in my own eyes, and I live that way for 30 years of my life. And then a young man spoke to me. My wife's brother, younger brother, he was just graduating from university. And we'd heard he got religious. And I already looked into religion. I was brought up in one great religion in Canada. And then I became my wife's religion. And I was searching. I know I was in my heart. I was searching for the truth. And so you think of God, you think of religion. So I switched this religion. Big, big one. Over a billion strong in the world, you know. And I was really a faithful to this religion. I'd go to church 6 mornings a week. I go to church. Then I go into work in the bank. And I was known as a religious man. Yes, I'm a religious man. I go to church in the morning, and then I go to the tavern at night. How's that? I'll call my wife and lie. I'm at a business meeting, honey. Yeah, I'll be home a little later, inebriated. That's me. And one day I'm sitting there in a pew and I'm looking up at a life-size crucifix of Christ on the cross. And right out loud, I didn't care who heard me, I said, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. And I left that church. I just walked out of the religion and I never went back because it's a dead end. It's just a dead end religion, you know. Christ is found in the book, in the word, and it's the gospel message that brings Christ home to me, opens my eyes of understanding. That's why Paul said, I'll never be ashamed of that message. I'll never be ashamed of that message, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And that's where we get our English word dynamite from. Dynamite blast goes down, and the gospel goes down from my ears to my heart, and I believe, and I change, and I want to change. I hope there's somebody here this morning, if you're not saved, that you want to be a different man, a different woman, because it must happen. These are his terms, you see. Except ye be changed, become like a little child, you'll not see me. You'll never see me. You're separated now from me. Your sins separate you from me. Isaiah 59. Death is separation. That's what death is, separation. There's the body in the coffin. Where's the person? Separated from the body. Either in Gehenna, at the end, Gehenna is the prison house for all those who died in their sins. All eternity in Gehenna. The Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's mentioned 11 times in the Bible, 10 of those times mentioned by Jesus Christ himself. And he takes no pleasure in saying to anybody, depart from me. I never knew you. He'll take no pleasure in that. And there'll be no conversations up there. People have this strange idea about meeting God. They'll be silent. In one split second, their whole life will be before them. And one pierced hand is enough. That's enough to show them the hand. And they'll know they're guilty. And they'll be in Gehenna because they chose Gehenna. People don't get saved just because they chose not to be saved. And God is calling this morning. He's calling, reaching out. Every time the gospel's preached, his arms are extended out saying, come unto me, young child, young girl, young boy, big person. Come to me, because it's such an important matter where I will spend eternity. Heaven or hell. And it's my choice. I choose. Somebody, I read somewhere, somebody said that they believe the door to Gehenna will be closed from the inside. You didn't want God in your life. You don't want God in your life. It's either there are people in the world who say, my will be done. Then there are Christians and we say, thy will be done. If I go through my life, my will be done. When you die, God will say to you, thy will be done. That's how you lived. That's how you die. This is your eternity. Your will be done. And that's Gehenna. Terrible place. Children are teachable. Children are tender. And children are trusting. They trust. Two girls were having a conversation. This is a long time ago when pennies were a lot of money. They were when I was a boy, actually. I go to the candy store with 5 pennies. I got a lot of candy in there. Well, it was like that. And so this girl says, I've got 5 pennies. How many pennies do you have? And she said, I've got 10 pennies. She said, 10 pennies? Let me see. So she opened her hand up. She said, you don't have 10 pennies. You've got 5 pennies. Oh, no, she said. No, my daddy, when he left for work this morning, told me when he comes home in a few hours, he's going to give me 5 pennies. So I have 10 pennies. I already have 10 pennies. That's why she said that. Is that trusting? Why, yes, that's trust, isn't it? How am I saved? How is a man born into God's family? I trust God. I believe that it shall be even as it was told me by God. And I know where I'm going. And no matter what happens in my life, doesn't matter what happens in my life, I know the end of my life. I know where I'm going at the end of my life. Do you know where you're going at the end of your life? Do you have assurance of heaven? If you don't have assurance of heaven, then I'm afraid it sounds to me like you don't know what it means to be saved, born again. I'm sure of heaven. I'm not worrying about heaven at all. The blessed life of a believer. God is so good. I've been preaching a 15-minute message for weekly, every Saturday, for a year, whole year. And I preached here yesterday, right here. I had the camera, my phone right there. And it's only 15 minutes. And it's not easy to get the gospel in 15 minutes. That's a challenge, you see. The whole gospel in 15 minutes. And I've been up here speaking now. It's like 10 to 12. I mean, I'm done. I'm going to sit down. I know you won't mind. Nobody minds a preacher stopping early. But I've preached the gospel. And you don't need a long time to preach the gospel. I've preached the gospel. I've sought to give you the whole counsel of God. The terms, accept, you be converted, changed, turn by my own way of thinking, forsake my thoughts. Teachable, be teachable, understand who's teaching you. I'm only a messenger. It's God teaching, seeking to teach you this morning, to get your attention this morning, to understand and receive the word as from himself. Tender-hearted, to be tender, and to trust him. And that is the only way to go to heaven, my friend, is just to trust and believe. That's all we have is our faith, and it is sufficient, and that's all that we need. Is my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I stand on The promise of God, I will never perish. He promised me. Yes. So may God bless you. I'm so happy that you're here this morning to hear the gospel, the best news man could ever hear, best news under the sun, and it'll never change. The gospel, the good news of God's salvation. We'll pray, Father in heaven, we give thanks. We've been able to consider thy Son and his words, Father, profound words, Father, that he spoke to his disciples. And we thank thee, Father, that we who are thine, you opened our eyes, Father, to see ourselves as we really are. Like you did, Father, for Isaiah in chapter 6. You opened his eyes and he realized what he really was, a man of unclean lips, undone. He said, you gave Job that revelation, Father, which he needed. And he got it and he said, mine eyes have seen the King, wherefore I abhor myself and repent, change my mind in dust and ashes. And Peter on the boat in Luke 5, a revelation to Peter. And he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, a sinful man. Father, how we thank thee, we who are thine. You showed us what we are, Father. But we rejoice this morning that the Holy Spirit seals us. And we pray, Father, for anyone here this morning, young or old, that it might please thee, Father, to open their eyes of understanding, to see themselves as they are, in danger of dying in their sins, Father. In danger of living their lives like they are, and your Son returns, Father, and it's too late for them. Father, speak mightily to hearts. This morning we pray in this room. We thank you for this blessed gospel message. We look forward, Father, to the children later on. We are so grateful for them, Father. We are so grateful to thee, Father. And we give thanks for this time we've had to consider him and the gospel. And we pray these things, Father, in his worthy name and for his honor and glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.